This is part B of Pentecost 2009. Now, back in Revelation 7, after that happens, he shows himself, displays the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, which is like a sun. Then he does something spectacular. All of that calms down. Verse 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth so that the wind might not blow on the earth or on the sea or on any tree. A great calm, unlike anything that has ever happened before, on the whole earth. And I imagine men are going to be wondering, I wonder what this is. Well, God is going to do something. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God, and he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to damage the earth and the sea, saying, "Do not damage the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 being sealed out of every tribe of the children of Israel. Now this tells us who the 144,000 in Revelation 7 are. Can't be any of us, because when we receive the Holy Spirit, we are sealed. We don't need to be sealed again. These are people who were not converted. And they are from the 12 tribes of Israel. And notice, verse 5, and from the tribe of Judah, God said he would save the tents of Judah first. There it is, right there. See, because God's word is true. The way you understand the Bible is to say, well, I don't know how these things fit together. The way you understand it is first, believe that the Word of God is true. Properly put it together. Things you don't understand, put it in the back of your mind and come back at it later. So then it lists all the 12 tribes of Israel. Now put this in your notes so you can go back and read it later. Okay. We find it in Hosea, prophecy of Hosea, Hosea 5, 14 and 15, and then chapter 6, first few verses there, where Israel repents and says, I'm going back to God. And it says, after 2 days of affliction, we will be raised up in the third day. Now, a day in prophecy is a year. So after 2 years, now out of 3.5 years, when you take away 2, how many are left? 1.5 years, right? So at the beginning of the third year, or sometime close to the beginning of the third year, God raises up Israel, spares them from the rest of the tribulation, beginning with the 144,000 as we find in Revelation 7. Now the question then comes up, well, what about, are there other people who would repent? The answer is yes. So let's read it. Verse 9. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one was able to number, out of every nation and tribe and people and language. Then it shows what's going to happen to them. Was standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and holding palms in their hands. Now, this is a prophecy of what is going to happen to them Why? Because the resurrection does not take place until the last trumpet sounds, correct? And here we haven't even started the first trumpet yet. That begins in Revelation 8. Now in Revelation 8, we have an overlap between the Feast of Trumpets and Pentecost. So Revelation 8 and 9 we'll cover when we get to the Feast of Trumpets. And these are also great and awesome events that are going to take place on the earth. But here we have something new taking place in warfare, at least in our time, which is this. In Revelation 6, it's men against men. Revelation 7, 144,000, a great innumerable multitude are sealed. Then the drama picks up again. The trumpet plagues begin. And now we have the angels of God bringing the plagues of God against men, and angels and demons and men fighting in great armies. Revelation 8 and 9. Now that continues. We'll cover all of that when we get to the Feast of Trumpets. Now let's come to Revelation 11, because we will see the trumpet sound for the resurrection. And then we will look at a little more of the resurrection and see how that has to be on Pentecost, because we are the first fruits of God. Now here we find the two witnesses giving their witness. Let's read that. Let's pick it up here in verse 3, Revelation 11. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the God of the whole earth. And we find that prophesied of in Zechariah 3 and Zechariah 4. So if anyone in the church says, I'm one of the two witnesses, and my wife is the second one, don't believe it. First of all, tell them to send you a photo, and if they're dressed up in clothes, you know they're not the ones. And besides, it doesn't say husband and wife here, does it? No. They're clothed in sackcloth. And then the next question to ask is, where are you living? Well, if they're not in Jerusalem, they can't be the two witnesses, right? Well, so much for the vanity of men and women. God is going to select them. They're going to come, the high priest and the governor of Judea. That's who they're going to be in Jerusalem. Understand this. No Jew would ever listen to a Christian, period, though they might be nice to them for the sake of money and advantage. But when there are two that they consider Jews, one probably the high priest of the house of Aaron, and two the governor of Judea, who is of the line and tribe of David, and they're in Jerusalem, they will pay attention to them. That's why the first 12,000 of the 144,000 are Jews who repent. Now notice what's going to happen here. Verse 5. And if anyone attempts to harm them, fire will come out of their mouths and devour their enemies. Now, how are you going to stop that? If they attempt to harm them, phew, incinerated. This is going to be a painful thing for people to put up with. I always think of the media. Just imagine the media. And then imagine those who try and attack them. Okay. If anyone attempts to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have authority. Now notice the power and authority that they have. To shut up heaven so that no rain may fall in the days of their prophecy. They have authority over waters to turn them into blood and to smite the earth with every plague as often as they will. unlimited power from God. This is going to frustrate the beast and the false prophet. They'll probably have daily confrontations. And when they have completed their testimony, the beast who ascends out of the abyss shall make war against them and will overcome them and will kill them. And their bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. That's Jerusalem. Now this is going to look like, you see, God always traps the enemy, doesn't he, into thinking he's going to succeed. So finally, the two witnesses are killed. And they say, hooray, oh, this is great. So they have a worldwide party, as it says in the next verses, and they give gifts to one another. Same trap that God set for Pharaoh and his horsemen and chariots as they went into the Red Sea. Oh, we'll go in, look, it's all dry. Not so. They're going to think, boy, we've got this one. For 3.5 days, they're going to be jubilant. Now, it also says that the whole earth is going to see them. Verse 9. Then those of the peoples and tribes and languages and nations shall see their bodies 3.5 days, for they will not allow their bodies to be put into the tombs. And then those who dwell on the earth will rejoice, send gifts to one another. Then after 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God shall enter into them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell upon those who were watching them. So what looks like total defeat turns around to be a victory because of God. So always remember that in your life too. When you have a time that looks like you're totally defeated, you have a time that it looks like you can never overcome, you have a time that you don't know what's happening, what's going on, how it's going to work out, put your trust in God, because it's not over till it's over. So God raised them up. Then he did something else, which fulfills the prophecy that Jesus said, the last shall be first and the first shall be last, right? Now, who were the two witnesses? The last two martyrs. Who were the first two raised? The two witnesses. Just before the resurrection occurs, they're raised from the dead. Now, I don't know all the things that are going to take place in their bodies being transformed from flesh to spirit, exactly at what time that will take place. But nevertheless, there they go. Verse 13, and then in that hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. 7,000 men were killed in the earthquake, and the rest were filled with fear and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming immediately. So right after they're raised, the seventh trumpet sounds, which is the last trump. Now notice, the seventh trump, the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign into the ages of eternity. And the 24 elders and those who sit before God on their thrones, fell on their faces and worshiped God. Now let's also understand something here too. In the concept of the third heaven of God, we somehow have it in mind that it's way, 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 way out there. But it, from these prophecies, it appears to be a whole lot closer to the earth than we've ever imagined, right? Yes. So let's think of it as a whole lot closer to the earth than we have thought, because the Apostle John saw this. Verse 17, and in worshiping God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, who is and who was and who is to come, For you have taken to yourself your great power and have reigned. Beginning of the reign of the kingdom of God. For the nations were angry. They don't want to repent. And your wrath has come, and the time for the dead to be judged. That's the resurrection. And to give reward to your servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to all those who fear your name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. That is a description of the resurrection. Now let's look at a few more scriptures, and then we'll complete this part of the picture of Pentecost. Now, let's come back here to 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. Let's see where Paul writes of the first resurrection. Verse 14. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again in exactly the same way also, those who have fallen asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now, in order for God to bring us with him, we have got to get from here to there. So let's read on. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall in no wise precede those who have fallen asleep. Resurrection is going to take place. We'll see exactly when. Because the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout of command. We saw where he comes down to the earth, close to the earth. Into the clouds, doesn't yet come down literally on the earth, into the clouds. With the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now let's think about this for a minute. The world has seen all of these things that have been transpiring up to this point of the seventh trumpet and the resurrection, right? Will they see all the saints being resurrected out of the graves? Will they see the angels carrying them up to meet Christ in the air? Why not? What a witness to the world! To tell them, hey guys, the jig is up. It's over. Christ and the saints are going to reign. Now notice, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Where is Christ coming? From the light of day down to a place in the clouds. How high do clouds go? Anywhere from 500 feet to 50,000 feet, right? So you take your pick where we're going to meet him. We'll talk about that in just a bit. Okay? For the meeting with the Lord in the air, so shall we always be with the Lord. Now what's going to happen when you're resurrected? And the angels are going to carry you up to meet Christ. That's what it says in Matthew 24. He's going to send his angels out, and he will gather his elect from the four winds of heaven, right? Now remember this. As you look at the earth from the beginning of sunset to sunset going clear around the earth to the next sunset is 24 hours. And from sunrise until the next sunrise is also 24 hours. Now, is it going to be that God is going to raise the people beginning from where? I don't know where it will begin. To meet Christ in the air. Will it be a witness for the full 24 hours of the daylight portion of the day of Pentecost. As daylight comes to them, guess what? The grave's open. And the saints are resurrected. And the angels take them. Look at that. The invaders from outer space are body snatching. The movies were right. Okay. All right, let's see what else is going to happen. Now, we know in 1 Corinthians 15, we're not going there. But it says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Let's come to Revelation 14. Last part of Revelation 14. Let's look at another view of the harvest. Verse 14. I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and one like the Son of Man sitting on the cloud, having a golden crown on his head, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who was sitting on the cloud, thrust your sickle and reap, because the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. There is a set time for the resurrection. And the harvest of the first fruits and the celebration of that is pictured by Pentecost is the time. Because we are resurrected and we are changed from flesh to spirit, from mortal to immortal, from dust to spirit. That's what happens with the harvest. And he who was sitting on the cloud thrust his sickle upon the earth, and the earth was reaped. Now, where are they going to go? Here we are. Well, just the body-snatching angels. Taking all the saints. Now, those who, you know, were alive, well, then they're changed, you know. Whoop! Here we go. What if we're going to have any conversations with the angels on the way up? Who are you? What's your name? Well, I've known you for a long time, you know. Ooh. You saw all my bad deeds. Yes, but God's forgiven those. Oh, thank you. Hey, you know, we've got to have a little practicality here. So where are we going to go? We're going to meet him in the clouds. Christ is coming from the heavens to the clouds. So Revelation 15 tells us. Verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and awesome, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God has been filled up. And I saw a sea of glass. Put in your notes there. Revelation 4. The throne of God is on what? A sea of glass. Now, I don't know if the rest of the world's going to see that or not. But let's read about it, and then we'll think a little bit more about it. And I saw a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who had gotten victory over the beast, who is Satan the devil, so that goes all the way back to Abel, and over his image, so that's all idolatry down through the time, and over his mark, which is coming, and over his name, standing on the sea of glass. So there we are. How many are going to be there? It's going to be a fantastic thing. We don't know, but I want to be there to find out who all is going to be there. That's going to be something. Now we start out singing and rejoicing. Notice, verse 3. And they were singing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and awesome are your works, Lord God Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Now, why are we going to meet on the sea of glass? Well, we've got to find out, first of all, who we are, because we're going to get a new name. All of us have to receive a new name. Isn't that something? We all have to meet Christ. We all have to be presented to the Father, as it says in Hebrews, the second chapter. Behold, I and all the children that you have given me. Because Jesus said, all yours are mine, and all mine are yours. Then we're going to have to get our rewards, because it says we're going to have to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Now remember this, just in case you think, well, I don't know how much I deserve. Remember this. Jesus said that no greater prophet has arisen than John the Baptist, and he didn't do one miracle, yet the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. So it's going to be so fantastic and thrilling that it's going to be something. Next, we have to find out, well, what are we going to do? We've got to get some assignments. You know, even coming here to this meeting, you needed to know where, when, and are we going to eat? Yes, we are. Same way on the sea. We're not going to give up eating just because we're spirit beings, you know, just sit there and breathe spirit. Oh, that was so good. You know, is it going to be that way? See? There has to be the marriage of the Lamb and Christ. Isn't that correct? Then there has to be the wedding supper. Is that not true? Yes. Then we have to witness the seven last plagues being poured out. So that obviously takes place after the resurrection. So when we start talking about trumpets, that's where we're going to pick it up. See? Then you're all going to do what you really have wanted to do. When you look and see all this confusion on the earth and you see all the political nonsense, and the Greek word is skubala, which means dung, that has been going on politically, religiously, education-wise, in families, in countries, and everything. And you want to do something. Well, Jesus said, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. Kingdom is of this world, and now we're going to fight. And so Jesus says, I've assigned each one of you white horses. And now the angels are going to show you how to do it. Now, when the word comes and we're going to descend off the sea of glass after the seven last plagues and take over the world, you get on your horse and we're going to say, let's go. And what's that going to be like coming down off the sea of glass down to the earth? And here's the beast and all the armies down there with all of their guns shooting and firing away. And God sends a plague on them that dissolves the flesh right off their bones. Hey, in any way you can fight against that, right? Nope. And then God is going to have all the flesh-eating birds of the whole world gather around and fly in huge circles to come down and eat all the flesh to clean up the earth. A little ahead of myself, but that's okay. First order of business, kill the beast and the false prophet in the lake of fire. Next order of business, get rid of Satan and the demons and put them in the abyss. So now after that, it's time to eat. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.